Thanks. So we're going to look at the word of the Lord now. It'd be great for you to follow. It's just a couple of sentences in the Bible that's on the shelf of the seat in front of you. You should be able to see one of these blue Bibles. The page number we're looking at is there, page 1139. So it's at the bottom of the page where you can see the big number 12. That's the beginning of chapter 12. And I'm reading verses 1 and 2. And after I've read it, what we often in Anglican Church, the person reading would say, "This is the word of the Lord," and then everyone else will say the bold words at the top there, "Thanks be to God." "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, visitors, you've joined us in a series of talks on Sunday morning looking at important Bible words, words that we may often use but might not know what they actually mean. So here's a very ordinary, common example. Sorry, am I doing something wrong with this? Okay. Is that off? Is that down? Yeah. Here's a very ordinary example. When you hear people around us today saying Jesus Christ, what do you think they mean? Often we think they're swearing, because Jesus Christ is used as a swear phrase, isn't it? People say Jesus Christ when they're angry or wanting to be rude to you. But you open the Bible and it keeps talking about Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean it's all about swearing? Well, no, but if you've not read the Bible, you won't understand that, will you? We're looking at what some important words or ideas in the Bible really mean. Last week we looked at prayer. We're going to be thinking about faith, love, fellowship. This week, we're thinking about the word worship. What does the Bible mean by that word worship? And it's a word people think very different things about. What are people saying when they're talking about worship? Is it me moving that's causing this problem? So people will say worship means what you do in a church building like this. Worship is what they do in assemblies at school. Some Christians say, well, the worship time is when we sing. That's what worship is about. Some people say, when we worship, that's when we're trying to get God the Holy Spirit to come. Well, what does the Bible say about worship? What does the Bible say that word means? And we're going to use just these two sentences I've looked at. I've read to you to help us think about this. It's part of a letter written by Jesus' servant Paul. He's writing to some early believers, so he's writing to Christians. And he says in verse 1, next to the big number 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So the Bible's saying there, proper worship begins with God. True and proper worship starts with what God is doing, or begins with what God is doing, and it says that up on the board there. Romans 12, verse 1, starts with, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy." So it's saying God has been merciful. That's what chapters 1 to 12 of Romans are all about, how kind God is. We were lost from God. We were actually avoiding him. It's not that we were looking for him, saying, "Where is he? Can I find him?" The Bible says we all wanted to ignore God, but he came to find us. He sent Jesus. That's God's mercy. And true and proper worship begins with what God is doing. So it's not us trying to get God to notice us. It's not saying, "How can I worship for long enough and loud enough so that God notices us?" Proper worship begins with God, what God is doing, and he comes to rescue us and find us. So So if we think worship is about making God notice me, then that means we cannot worship God in a way that pleases him. It's that serious. We think worshiping God is about making God notice me. We cannot worship God in the true and proper way. Because true and proper worship begins with God being merciful. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, they do not accept that Jesus came to find people who were lost from God. So they cannot worship God in a true and proper way. True and proper worship starts with what God is doing. Romans 12 here is saying, worship that pleases God is done by people who know I was lost from God and God found me. It's not that I worked him out. It's not that I looked in all the corners and I found God. God came and found Joel, who was lost. And if I think that's the beginning of me being able to give true worship. It's for people who understand the sign of baptism that we've had this morning. What did the sign of baptism say? It was a sign that said, I am dirty before God, but that God is willing to make me clean. If I understand that, then I can give true and proper worship. So true and proper worship begins with what God is doing. Next slide, please. True and proper worship is living my life for God. It's living my whole life for God. Let me show you that again from right back next to that big number 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, Paul says, if we're believers, we must make a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they made sacrifices of animals. The New Testament sacrifice is not animals. What does this verse say the sacrifice should be? This is a real question. Visitors, I'm unkind to people in Dagenham Parish Church. I make them read the Bible and answer questions sometimes. So, Dagenham Parish Church, you're used to this. Tell me from verse 1, what does it say? What should our sacrifice be? Ourselves. Yeah, that's there. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not like in the Old Testament, it was dead animals. In the New Testament, it's our living human selves. It's different. We had these words earlier on the slide. Here they are again. Look at the ones in bold. You going forward, please? Forward. Go forward. No, you were there. You were there. Here we go. So what I've got in bold. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. So true and proper worship is when I use my body for righteousness rather than for using it for unrighteousness, for doing good, not for doing wrong. Offer your bodies, your everyday life, your ordinary life, your eating, going to work, walking around life. That is the sacrifice that God says is true and proper worship. It is not just what happens here in the church building, not what the Bible says. It's not just singing, not what the Bible says. The Bible says the sacrifice for believers, the true and proper worship of God, is the things that I do with my hands, with my voice, what I look at with my eyes. It's how I treat people. That is true and proper worship. Someone says, I can't worship God very well because I'm not very good at singing. Well, what's this verse said about singing? This verse has said true and proper worship is that we offer our lives as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's what the Bible says worship is. Now, here's something interesting. Most of our life is this is true, isn't it? I mean, you might think I live, children when they come to visit the building, they think I live here. But even I don't live here. But for regular people in church, most of your life is not in church on a Sunday, even if you're a regular church person. Even if you come to church on a Sunday every week and you go to a midweek group, that's only about 4 hours. Now, in your whole week, you're awake for something like 112 hours. So I've done the maths. You can do this if you're good at maths, but I've done the maths, and I think that means about 3% of our week is in church things. Okay, 3% is on Sunday or in a midweek group. How much does that leave? How many percent? Someone who's good at maths. 97% is the rest of your week. That's a lot, isn't it? Okay, that's a lot. But God wants us to worship God in all of that. True and proper worship is giving, living our lives for God in all of it, not just the 3%. Offer your lives as a living sacrifice. So I've got some bags here to help me show you this. Different things we might do in the week. Here we go, I've got my shopping bags. If I go to the supermarket, I can worship God at the supermarket. It's not by walking up and down the aisles and singing, but by the way I treat the people around me and the way I make choices about the money I spend. If you are fit enough to be in a sports club, you can worship God when you go to the sports club. By the way you treat other people, by the way you listen to the ref if it's in a competition. That's worshiping to God. If you ever go in the kitchen, you can worship God with one of these, apparently. I think it's that way up, isn't it? And some of us use these as well in the kitchen. And we can use these to worship God. Not because we're singing songs, but because of the way we're thinking, thankful to God, and the way we're living our life in that place. That's worship to God. Maybe you're involved in construction or some kind of work like that. You can worship God as you're doing that, in the way you do your work, in your manner in which you treat other people. So true and proper worship, it's not just singing. It's not just the 3%. It's live your lives for God, the 97%. That's what the Bible says about what worship is. I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting because I can worship God all week long. Not just because I'm a vicar. You can worship God all week long. Even if you're not a vicar. Yeah? That is exciting. Thank you. God is with me all week long. And that means I can worship him through the week. True and proper worship is living my whole life for God. Let me tell you a couple of stories. Imagine Julian goes out with some mates. And they get on the tube. He and his friends are going on the tube. So this is not a 3% thing. It's part of the 97%, isn't it? It's the rest of his week. They get on the tube and they push through the barriers and they don't pay. Well, Julian's a Christian, so what does he do? He doesn't think that's a good thing. He knows that's wrong. And so because verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, he doesn't join in with that. And he worships God by paying for his ticket. That's an everyday way to worship God that other people are not doing. Another story, Joanna is a mum with two little toddler children, or even like Kylie, this could be Kylie's story, three little children, and it's hard work. It can feel like life is just getting to bedtime without having a row, without things going disastrously wrong. But Joanna has learned from the Bible that true and proper worship is all of life. And that means that even though it can be hard grind, each one of those hours to get through to bedtime is another worship hour. And the way she gets on with her children, the way that she carries out her life is worship to God. Malachi is a delivery driver. He knows that God has put the government in charge. And so the government has got the job of setting the speed limit. So Malachi, because God's put the government in charge, here's his bag, works for one of these delivery companies. Afraid there's nothing nice in there, if you wanted to check. It's empty. But because he knows that God's set the speed limits, he drives at the speed limit. He tries to be considerate to other drivers. That's his 97%. He's worshipping God in that part of life too. True and proper worship begins with what God has done. Begins with him. It's not me saying, God, here I am. Can you hear me? It's done by people who know God has come to rescue them. And it's done in all of life, not just the 3%, but in the 97 as well. Now, you might have some questions on this because it might be quite surprising. I've planted some questions. It's a bit of a cheat, isn't it? But anyway, I'm being upfront and honest. Here's some planted questions. Three of you have got some questions you're going to shout out. I can't remember who was first. Was it you, Aniola? Big voice.
When I come to a church meeting, for the 3% someone is leading, I join in. They know what they are doing. I don't know how to worship God in the 97% of my life. How do I know how to worship God?
Thank you. So the question summarised on the board, how do I know how to worship in the 97%? It's easy at church in the 3%. Because the vicar's at front, and well, he doesn't know what he's doing, but Rob knows what he's doing at least when Rob's at the front. Okay, so we can follow that part. But what about the 97%? How do I know? Well, remember, worship starts with what God is doing. We can always be thanking God through the week that he has found us. We can be thanking him that every hour of our day is an opportunity to worship. And be If we're trying to find out how to worship God in the 97%, we'll be coming to the 3% to find out the answer. And we'll be saying to other people in church, how do I do it? How do I live for God in my life, in this situation? And we learn that together. That's what we ought to be doing to help one another in the 97, coming to the 3 so that we can learn. There's a second question, Bola, I think. What about the Holy Spirit in worship? Can we have that on the screen, Aniola? Thank you. How does the Holy Spirit help in worship? Well, Paul says earlier in the book of Romans that God's love has been poured into the heart of believers by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is reminding us that our worship begins with God. He's loved us. He has found us and given us this new life to live. So he teaches us that. But then also the Bible, it says that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible and is speaking in the Bible. So through the instruction from the Bible, we're hearing from the Holy Spirit how we can worship in the 97. Sydney.
I like the 3% part of my week. Church is a break. It's a rest. It's calm. I don't want to think about the 97%. Why can't I just come here to get away from that?
Thank you. Now, Sydney didn't pick that question for herself, so she, you know, none of those people did, okay? I planted those questions, but here we are. Why can't we keep worship for the 3% of our week? It's a break from the arguments with my neighbours. It's a break from the boss who's unfair at work. I come here, and I know people can feel like that. Why can't we just keep the 97% out of it? Well, I want to say to anyone who's thinking that, I'm really pleased that you like church meetings so much. That's a good thing. Keep coming. But God has come for people like us who have made a mess. And he's come to start to put us straight with him. And that means all of our lives. And so our worship of God is to be 100%. Come for the 3%, you know, come for the church meetings in that small part of your week so that you can get help for the rest of the week for serving God his way. True and proper worship starts with what God is doing. And true and proper worship is living my life for God. I'm happy to take your real questions rather than just planting questions, but I think I better take those afterwards. But if you do have a question, please come and ask me. I'd love to explain more if that would help. But that's our word for this week, worship. And it's surprising how different the Bible's teaching is from the way people talk about it, isn't it? Surprisingly different. We're going to sing a song, and I've got some musicians who want to move into place. Here's the chorus for the song we're going to sing. The next screen. No, sorry, could you go back? just stop. Have we got a previous one? No, it hasn't. Okay. Sorry, can you go forward too? Next one. Right. This is the words you know, Dagenham Parish Church and St. George's. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. That's really singing about the 3%. If you go back to, This is my preference for how we should sing this. So now we go to worship. Now we leave to serve you. Now we go to live, for you are God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether merciful to me. It changes the meaning of the song a bit, doesn't it? It's not, here I am on a Sunday morning worshipping you. It's, here we go at Sunday lunchtime to worship you in the week. I did want to sing this, but I've realised that actually it's against copyright law, so we're not going to do that.